Well, we continue in our series, 16 series, our vision series, and know the story. And we talked the first week about creation. The second week was about the fall. The third week, last week, Pastor Coffey was here and he spoke about Israel. And this nation that was called out, it's called out people that God called out to so that he might send a redeemer. One who would reconcile the world to himself. And his name is Jesus. And so I'm going to be talking about Jesus today. Is that all right? Amen. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, the great I am. I get the privilege to talk about Jesus. Now, I could go on and on about Jesus into eternity. And one day I will. I get to talk about him and praise him and worship him forever. Amen. I look forward to that day. The song alluded to that one day he's coming again.
Yes.
And he's going to come back and redeem those of us who have placed our faith in him. And we're going to be with him forever. Looking for what? Oh, glorious, glorious day. That's going to be an awesome day. I don't know what you're going through right today. I don't know what you're experiencing. I don't know if you're up or down or somewhere in the middle. But one day our Savior is coming.
Yes.
So we have hope. We have a future. And we look forward to that. What you believe in your heart about Jesus is the most significant thought you will ever entertain because it will determine your eternal destiny. What you believe about Jesus, heaven or hell, it will determine that. It's the most significant thought you can ever have. Will you be with Jesus forever or will you be separated from him forever? Once to every man, nation, boy, girl, comes a moment to decide. In this fight between good and evil, truth and falsehood, it comes a moment to decide. You have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. And we're hoping that decision is Jesus. Jesus hopes that it's him. Because he loves you. God loved the world. We know that so much so that he sent his one and only son. That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but would have everlasting life. He went on to demonstrate that love toward us. He didn't just say it, but he demonstrated that love toward us. While we were yet sinners, broken, flawed, messed up. He died for you and for me. He died for us. But he didn't stay in the grave. Amen. The song said it. One day he rose again. And he's alive forevermore, and therefore we have hope. Yeah, we're going to talk about Jesus. And just if it's okay, just let me start with a few of his titles from the Bible. He's called Christ. He's called Lord. He's called Rabbi, Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David, Lion of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright and the Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega, the Logos, the Advocate, the Prince of Peace, the Only Begotten of the Father, the Lamb without blemish. Now that's probably enough to preach on right there. That's enough right there. So I'm just going to encourage you to buckle your seatbelt. We got any seatbelts in? Buckle your seatbelts. We're going to talk about Jesus. That's something to get excited about. And it's okay to worship. You might want to jump up and run around a little bit if you get excited about what God has done and who he is and who we're talking about this morning. If we just get a glimpse and a grasp of who he is this day, and that's the hope and our prayer. If you have your Bibles, iPad, iPod, whatever form of technology you might have today, you might have it in hard copy, would you please open with me to the book of John. Book of John, first chapter, I'm going to read for us 1 through 4 and verse 14. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. full of grace, full of truth. Of course, we could talk about Jesus forever, but this morning, I want us to examine three things about Jesus. Three things. First of all, Jesus declared the Father. The second thing we'll look at is Jesus dominates the future. And the third thing, Jesus delivers. The great historian, Kenneth Scott Lay Retour, said this. Listen to this quote. He said, "Jesus has had more effect on the history of mankind than any other of his race, whoever existed." In other words, there's never been another one like Jesus. There was not one before. There'll never be another one after him. Jesus Christ, is to know him is to love him. To know him is to love him. To love him is to trust him. To trust him is to be radically and dramatically and eternally changed, to be transformed. I'm talking about Jesus. Human speech is too limited to describe him. The human mind is too small to comprehend him. And the human heart can never really completely, totally absorb who Jesus is. Turn your Bibles, please, with me to Colossians chapter 1. You can keep it there. We're going to stay there this morning. Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to start with verse 12. It reads like this: "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. In you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." We're going to talk a little bit now about Jesus. You see, I was one of those who was alienated from the commonwealth of God. But God saved me and redeemed me. And you are as well. If you've placed your faith in Christ today, you are one of those. You belong to the family of God. You have been adopted into the family of God. We talk about Jesus' desire to have preeminence in our life. He just doesn't want a place in your life. He doesn't wish for prominence in your life. He deserves and demands preeminence. That's a word for number one. He deserves first place in your life. Not just prominence, not just a tag along, an add-on. He wants to be numero uno, number one in your life and in my life. The three reasons I mentioned earlier, again, he came to declare God. He came to dominate the future, and he came to deliver us from evil. Reason number one, Jesus reveals the Father. Jesus reveals the Father. Look in verse 15. It says, "Jesus is the image of the invisible God." God is spirit, invisible, unfathomable, unapproachable. So how are we going to know God? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. The visible. Jesus makes the invisible God known. The word image is the word icon. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Here, how are we going to know God? Not by reason are we going to know God. Not by religion are we going to know God. How are we going to know God? Not by ritual. We're going to know God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God. He came to reveal God to you and me. You can never really fully know God the Father apart from God the Son. There's just no way to do that. I had an interesting conversation with a young lady yesterday, And she was having some difficulty in her life, so I was sharing with her, you know, we got to get back to Jesus. Your issue is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So she was one who couldn't examine herself. It was always somebody else's issue, always somebody else's problem. She wasn't willing to examine herself and say, look, let's slow down, sweetheart. Let me share with you that you need Jesus. She says, oh, no, I go to church. You don't understand. I go to church, and right now I'm very angry with my church. I'm very angry with my pastor. I said, well, I'm not talking about your pastor. I'm talking about Jesus. We're not talking about the church per se. We're going to talk about the church next week, but we're not talking about what's perceived as the church. And many people equate the two, the church and Jesus, but the church is not Jesus. The church is the church. The church is a group of called out people who have been born again and very flawed people. So many times we look at people like me who can be broken, and you look at me and you get disappointed and discouraged because maybe I don't live up to what you think I ought to live up to. Well, it's not about me. It's really about taking your eye off of me and getting your eye on Jesus. Because when you begin to look on the horizontal, you can be discouraged and disappointed and even depressed. God wants us to look at Jesus, the one who's altogether lovely. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega. He wants us to look at him. So I want to encourage you this morning, when you find yourself in one of those places, discouraged, depressed, looking around at others, husband, wives, employers, employees, stop for a moment and take a look at Jesus. He pulls you back in. He pulls you back to the vertical. And see, when we begin to look here, it's a picture of the cross, because God, we begin to look here and we get connected with Jesus Christ. He fills us with the person of the Holy Spirit, and that begins to overflow our lives to others. A picture of the cross. Many times we're trying to get the horizontal right first. If I can just straighten out my wife or my husband, my children, I've got problems with, if I could just get that right, if I get them fixed, then everything will be okay. No, God says, you come to me first. I want to be preeminent. I want to be number one in your life. If we look again at verse 15, look at it, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, put those two words down. I want you to lock your minds around those two words, image and firstborn. Image and firstborn. The word image is the Greek word icon. Now, if you have a computer, I know we got a lot of young folks in here very technologically aware and alert, but you got something called an icon. Am I right? Help me out here. Help me out. It's okay if you say, yeah, you're right, Pastor. Amen, Pastor. I'm okay with that. I mean, you preach it, Pastor. Come on, Pastor. I'm all right with that. We got a church of diversity, so we're going to be a little different than most places. This place is a little different. It won't be like most places. We try to be as non-traditional as possible, but yet staying with the Word of God, keeping our focus on Christ. So it's okay. Some of you are from the church, from that part of the church, if you want to say okay or amen. We are diverse, we are different, and we're willing to share those different gifts and come together because of Christ, and Christ being in the center of us and living that out for the world, that there is a God, and because of this, men know you're my disciples because you have love for one another. Amen? Amen. Come on now. Come on. Yes. The word image, again, is the Greek word icon. Now, Jesus is the icon of God, if you can get that. Follow me now. The Greek word means the exact representation. Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He is the icon of God. And go to Colossians chapter 2. If you read there, verse 9, it says, see, Paul sums it up there. He says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, when you get Jesus, you got everything you need. Amen. Somebody was talking to me, you know, and I won't go there too much, but you know, they got a lot. We have a lot of doctrinal things, and people are talking about second works, and once I get Jesus, do I need to do this and do I need to do that? And God is saying, no, when you have Jesus, you have all that you need. You got everything you need. you need in that package, if you would, if you had a baby in the natural sense. If a baby is born and that baby is healthy, when you look at it, it has fingers and toes, all that it's supposed to have, eyes, nose, it's breathing, it's healthy. That baby has everything that it needs at birth. It has to mature. It has to grow. You don't add on to the baby. The baby will grow up into a mature person if you allow it to do so. So it is in the spiritual. When we get Jesus, we've got everything we need. All the fullness, get that, of God dwelt in him bodily. He is the exact representation of God. He is the icon, the express image of God. Here's what Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. It says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone in whom the Son chooses to reveal him. He says, nobody knows my Father but myself. And you can't know him unless I introduce you to him. In other words, you can't get around Jesus. All right, you got to come through Jesus. There's no other way to get to God the Father unless you come through Jesus Christ. Christ has to introduce you to his Father. That's a big statement. Why? Because Jesus is the express image of God. You're never going to figure God out. Let me tell you, you're not smart enough, good looking enough, or rich enough to figure God out. I know some of you are smart people and you're trying to figure it out. Give me another book to read. You're not going to figure God out. You're not smart enough. You're not good looking enough. You don't have enough money in your bank account to figure God out. You just can't do it. How can a finite understand the infinite? Not by reason, not by revelation. Any other God that you worship is the God of your own guesses, the God you've made up in your own mind. And that's a form of idolatry. And many of us have made up our own God. We think God, Jesus is there for us to move when we call him. Amen. To do what we want him to do when we want him to do it. We need to bow the knee and say, yes, Lord, you are Lord. And I want you to be preeminent. I want you to be number one in my life. Don't conjure up some God that you're going to worship yourself. And if you have, I encourage you to repent today and look to Jesus. James, Jesus came to declare and to reveal the Father. You cannot know the Father apart from Jesus Christ. It's just impossible. You have to come through Jesus. Jesus didn't say, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a light. He said, I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, God was manifest in the flesh. He didn't say I was some kind of light. I'm one of the lights. I'm one of the ways. He said emphatically, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light and I am the life. Let's look at the first word, firstborn here in verse 15. Now don't get the idea here that firstborn implies a beginning. Jesus never had a beginning. There never was a time that Jesus was not. Jesus said over there in the Gospel of John, before Abraham was, I am. Not I was, I am. He is the great I am. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. He never had a beginning. He always existed in a state, never had a start. He didn't have his beginning, I just want to inform you, in Bethlehem. That wasn't a beginning for Jesus. What does the word firstborn mean? Firstborn speaks of his exalted position. Look at verse 17. And Jesus is before all things. He could not be created. Why? Because all things were created by him. It is obvious that whether things are made in heaven or on earth, everything was made by Jesus for Jesus. My second point that brings me to. Not only does Jesus reveal and declare the Father, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, the highest of all creation and above all creation. Jesus dominates and rules the future. Look at verse 16. For by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, now watch this, to reconcile all things unto himself. To him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. Now, what is this talking about? It's talking about the one who rules the universe. One who not only has the whole world in his hands. You remember that song, any of y'all old enough to remember that song? Oh, yeah. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands. Amen. He's got mama and daddy in his hands. He's got you and me, brother and sister, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. That's who Jesus is. He's got the whole world in his hands. People ask, well, what's the world coming to? When we look at our world, we're in trouble, aren't we? We see the terror attacks and school shootings and shootings in theaters, and we see people blowing themselves up and bombing themselves. What in the world coming to? In Akron alone last year, we had 26 homicides. Akron, Ohio, 26 homicides. I might want to add to that, 22 of them were people of color, my color, African-American people, 22 of the 26 were people of color. Homicide, we look at that and our hearts are broken. I'm saying with people, I want to have the heart of God. I'm praying for God's heart. I don't want that just to be a statistic. It's a statistic. Another one's dead, shot. And then we keep going. Okay, wasn't me, didn't impact me. I didn't know him. Well, you think God is concerned about them? You think God died for them? You think God loves them? Yes. I want that heart. I want to feel something. I talked about compassion. Compassion is seeing a need. Secondly, it's feeling a need. And then the third thing is acting on that need. I do something about it. People dying, shot and killed. We see that 26 homicides in Akron last year. Over 150 overdoses of death. People dying to heroin overdose last year. Right here, Akron. People dying and going to hell every day. And how do you feel about that? It's not you. Not somebody in your family. Do you care? We want God's heart. We want to have the heart of God. And that's why Jesus came. That's why we want to share the gospel. Because the gospel has the power to change and to transform a life. Amen. It's the only thing that can. Education will inform you. Sin will deform you, but only the gospel can transform you. Amen. Only the gospel. Amen. We need the gospel, and we need to be sharing the gospel with those who don't know Jesus Christ. We need to have a sense of urgency. As we say in that song, one day he's coming back again. It could be today. Yes. It could be. I know we think that. We know it intellectually, but is it manifest in our lives? Do I live with a sense of urgency, or I still got many things I need to get in place? I've got other things that are preeminent in my life. Maybe it's getting my education. That's got to be first. Oh, God, you're in there somewhere, but, you know, I need to get my education first. Christ is saying, no, I want to be number one. Get your education, but I need to be number one. Maybe it's your job. Maybe that's number one on your life, in your life, and you just give yourself to that job. Jesus is saying, no, I need to be number one. And for some of us, maybe it's just the next thing. We're looking forward to what's next. I'm giving that. Oh, Christ, you're in there, but I'm looking to what's next. The new job, the new this, or the new. I'm looking. So that's on the throne of my life. That's what's preeminent in my life is the next thing, and it's not God. God is in there. He's a part of my life, but Jesus says, I want to be preeminent, and I deserve to be preeminent in your life. What's the world coming to? Infant mortality rate in Akron. We're just reviewing that this morning. It's the highest among African Americans right here in Akron, Ohio. Highland Square, West Side. You dine with West Side? This is the West Side. Highland Square is a part of the West Side. But this is the West Side. This is where we exist. This is where God has called us to. Infant mortality rate. The poor and the black, young black women, high. It's higher than some third world countries. Right here, we got problems. What's it coming to? The answer is coming to Jesus. It's coming to Jesus. All things were created by him and for him, and it will climax with the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Jesus is the power, you see, of creation. First of all, he says Jesus is the power of creation. Look, if you will, in verse 16, it says, Jesus is the power of creation, for by him were all things created. He is the power of creation. The little baby in Matthew 1 is the mighty God of Genesis 1. Amen. As we put this notice story together, this little baby in Matthew chapter 1 is the same God in Genesis chapter 1. There was nothing made without him. John tells us that all things were made by him. Jesus is the preserver of creation. He is the preserver of creation. Look in verse 17. It says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Do you know what the word consist means? They stick together. Jesus Christ is the glue of the galaxies. What is it that keeps all things from falling apart and coming apart? Well, it's Jesus. And Jesus is the purpose of creation. And he is the purpose. Look, if you will, verse 16 says, look, it says, for by him all things were created, for in him in heaven that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him. Now watch it. And for him. Why all of this? Did he do it for you? No, it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for him. Now, God loves you, but it was for him. We were created for God's pleasure. Beloved, it is all headed to Jesus. It's all for him. He is the key to the mystery of history. He is the mystery, matter of fact, of history. Why is it all me? All things were created in him and by him and for him. You were created for him and not for yourself. Therein is where the problem comes, because we think we were created for ourselves. We know better than God. Why is it we know better than God? We get a little intelligence. None of us had anything to do with who our parents would be. None of us. I didn't get to choose my parents. I didn't get to choose my nationality, my ethnicity. I had nothing to do with that. I didn't get to choose what country I would be born in, what my eye color would be, how tall or how short I would be. I had nothing to do with that. Neither did you. And then all of a sudden, we know more than God. Isn't that something? We get about 13 or 14, maybe even before that. Man, I know more than God. Who is this God? There ain't no God. Who are you? Are you insane? Yes, you are. There is a God. And his name is Jesus. And he desires this wonderful relationship with you. That brings me to my third and final point. Jesus delivers and rescues the fallen. Ain't that good news? Because we're fallen, all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. That means, you know what? I don't play the dozens. The dozens is when you talk about people's mama and that kind of stuff. Some of you might know about that. But God says that all have sinned. That means your mama. That means my mama, your daddy, your wonderful granddaddy, grandmama. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We need Jesus. Not only does Jesus reveal the Father, not only does he rule the future, but Jesus, thank God, reconciles the fallen. That's why he came. Look at verse 18. And he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Remember, that means number one. All things, not some things. God, I give you 99 and a half. That won't do. He says, I need to have 100. I want all of you. That's God's desire for you and me, that he would have all of us. We need to be praying and asking God to help us. Lord, help me give myself to you. I want to give you all of me. All of me. Oh, that guy's saying, what's that guy's name saying that song? Yeah. All of you. And I think about that when he sings, I'm thinking about all of Jesus. I'm like, boy, that song could really apply to the gospel. Yeah, all of you. God desires all of you, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, that he would be number one. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness should dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet he hath reconciled you. That's so wonderful. That Jesus who declared the Father, that Jesus who dominates the future, who delivers the fallen, reconciles God to man. That's the greatest news we could ever have. That God has reconciled man back to himself. That's what happened in creation and the fall. And God said, I'm going to send a redeemer. And I'm going to choose Israel. And he's going to come through Israel. And this Jesus appeared. And he came. And he lived the life that you and I could not live. And he died the death that we deserve to die. And he rose again so that we might be reconciled to God, brought back together with God, in a relationship with God. Not about religion. This is about a relationship with the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is awesome. That he would do that for you and for me. We talked about the one rose this morning. Had there not been another rose, he would have died. Not another person. Had it only been Linda, he would have died. If it had only been Jerome, he would have went to the cross. God, what an awesome God. God desires this wonderful relationship with you and with me. He hung naked on a cross. He's the one who made everything. He made it all. It all belongs to him. Do you get that? The cattle on a thousand hills belongs to him. And he hung naked on a cross. Think of it. God, the mighty maker, died for man, the creature, sin. You have to get this into context. You have to understand what he's talking about here. Let me set up. He's telling you how great, how awesome, how mighty is Jesus. And then he speaks of the blood of his cross. He died on a cross. The one who made everything, every seed, every limb, every tree. He dies on a tree. The one who made the oceans, the fountains, and the rivers and the streams said, I thirst. The one who flung the sun out into space is the one blistered by the noonday sun. He is dying. His death, his deity are put together. Other people have died, but people, my friends, beloved, in his deity, it makes his death meaningful. It's his deity that he was God, and it is his death that makes his deity knowable. These two are together. When Jesus created the universe, he did it with his word. He said, let it be, and it was. And the universe sprang from his fingertips. But when he saved us, it took every drop of blood. He's the Son of God revealed in the pages of his holy word. He's the one that took my sin, your sin, our sin to the cross, and there he made peace with the blood of the cross. Hallelujah. And on his cross, he took sinful man with one hand, holy God with the other hand, and reconciled God to man. Yes. I'm talking about Jesus. Yes. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does Jesus Christ have preeminence in your life? Today is going to be your day. If you're already a believer and you're knowing, you know what, he's not Lord of my life. I got the next thing in mind. I need to get a job. I need to get a wife. I need to get a husband. I need to get my education. Just be honest. This is where I am individually. You think about that. Brian talked about 200 stories, and each one of us has our own story, but where's Christ for you? Is he preeminent in your life? Is he number one? And today you can repent and say, God, I want you to be number one. This day, let me make you number one. What would that look like? What would our world look like if we went around making Christ number one instead of ourselves, instead of other things, instead of idols in our life? We would make him number one. God is good. God loves you. I'm going to let the praise team give us a song, and then I'm going to come back and close. God bless you.